Ronananian.
Do you ever wonder how they make it so that when you go into reverse, that's when the camera turns on? Because otherwise, it would be kind of neat. You could turn the camera on and look at the guy behind you tailgating you, so it would be, maybe like a spy car.
Should we activate the cone of silence?
The car doctor.
A simple backup camera. Look at what we're doing here. Remember going to the moon, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 1969? Look at that technology. Look how far we've come. We probably can't get that back to the moon anymore, but we sure got neat backup cameras on our vehicles.
Missed it by that much.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the car doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines. Hello and welcome. Ron and Amy and the Car Doctor here at 855-560-9900. Here to take your calls, answer your questions about your vehicle, whatever they might be. However it takes to make that car go down the road, that car or truck go down the road, we want your question. We want to give you an answer. We want to get you back on the shiny side so you're smooth and sailing straight. This radio show also goes out over the internet, cardoctorshow.com, as well as many affiliates across America. You can get out to cardoctorshow.com and live stream us from there. Keep in mind Car Doctor Facebook page, Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, and don't forget, if you podcast us through the many sites, particularly Spreaker.com, you can go ahead and click subscribe or favorite and download the podcast as, keep us with you all the time. We're trying to be there for you. I was listening to the radio this week. I listen to the radio sometimes, and it kind of blew my mind, this commercial. And I've asked Tom to cue it up because I wanted to start the show here with this today. Tom, would you run that commercial?
Listen.
With instant acceleration, electric cars are more fun to drive and more affordable than ever. Electric cars are here. Plug in to the present.
And the end of that commercial was sponsored, right, Tom? It didn't have it in the clip, but it was sponsored
by Volkswagen.
Sponsored by Volkswagen, and it's actually a TV commercial.
Right, and the car that they're saying is the electric car, is a Chevy. There's no Volkswagen in the spot.
So it made no sense to me. And I sat there and I said, wow, how can the company that brought us the ever-polluting, beyond-the-legal-limit diesel come up with what? Now, this is their penance? Is this like Catholic school? You got caught, so you have to do 7 Hail Marys and run a commercial on radio and TV to promote electric cars for a clean environment? Is that what they're up to here? I don't understand. And where do the claims in the commercial come from? You know, they talk about it's the future and the cleaner running electric car and better for the environment electric car. Has that been established? Have we acknowledged that? Are they saying that we've agreed that the electric car right now in its present shape and form is the way to go? I haven't. I don't agree with that. I don't believe that. I think that there's a place for it. I don't know that it's the be-all and end-all. But I fear commercials like this, because how many people are going to have the presence of mind to sit and look for the answers? How many people are going to sit there and say, well, that electricity has to come from somewhere, and where do we generate the electricity to charge that vehicle back up? And what does it take for a power grid to support, you know, how many people live in the tri-state area? How many millions of people live here? If we all plugged in at once, what would happen to the grid? What was that? There was a TV show in the 60s, I think it was a talk show host in the 60s or the 70s, that said everybody needed to go to their bathroom and flush their toilet at once, and they saw a water pressure drop in the region such that it was devastating the effect, the number of toilets that got flushed all at once. And he was trying to demonstrate the point of if everybody jumped into the pool all at once, and whatever the topic of the day was. I vaguely remember this as a kid. If everybody plugged an electric car in all at once, if we ran out, which we don't because we don't have the manufacturing capacity, not only just to manufacture all the cars, but the supporting grid, the internal structure to, hey, everybody's got an outlet that will accept that electric car and allow it to charge up, can't do it. You know, everybody wants a generator now, right? Everybody's going on generator. All the generators are being installed. My friend Mike Hickey, who does generator installs, he did the one for the studio here, and we talk all the time. He said, Ron, I've got generator work signed up for the next 2.5-3 years. He said it just doesn't stop. And he goes, there aren't enough people to install generators, and it just goes on and on and on. And the problem we're going to run into slowly is all the generators run off the natural gas grid. And we've got to make sure the natural gas grid can support the generators, or we're going to just, you know, it's like a vicious cycle. We're creating a problem. Electric cars. Are they the answer? Are they going to be the final solution? I don't know. I don't think they're the final solution from Volkswagen, I can tell you that, because if they make an electric car the way they made a diesel, we're doomed. And how Chevy and Volkswagen got into cahoots together, I wonder if Chevy must know that they're doing it. But it just caught me as... I actually called Tom Wednesday morning when I heard it, and I said, you know, we need to get a Sirius XM channel, because I got to say a few choice words about some of these people are doing, and I just can't do it on family radio. But that's my opening rant. Just listen to that commercial. Listen to the words. You know, can it really be? I was at the Chevy dealer, and we're going to have Bill Brunner from Parama Chevy on in the next hour talking. He's the general manager of Parama Chevrolet. We're going to have him on. We're going to talk about the car industry and how it's changed. And, you know, I was down there about a month ago buying a new truck, and the salesmen were showing me the Chevy Volt and the Bolt, right? The electric cars that they've got. And, you know, they're $40,000 cars. You know, it's 40 G's. I'm not knocking it. I think they're a great car. I think, you know, we're on. But it's not that they're $10,000 that you're saving all this money versus a gas vehicle. And there's still going to be maintenance. It's still going to require a very specialized technician to work on it. And, you know, there are some shortcomings of it because of its technology. It's not perfected yet. I just don't see it.
You know, last week we went up to the Boston area where our daughter's going to school, and you know, for her birthday. So we went and walked around the mall to kill some time. They had a Tesla store. For $147,000, you too can have an electric car.
Right. And, you know, for $147,000, I could put a kitchen and a bathroom in my house. You know, which am I going to use more? You know, which is going to be more reliable and which is going to go up in value?
And what's going to happen, I brought this up before, we're in the Northeast. We have a big snowstorm. We have no power here at the house. How do I charge my car?
Right. Well, solar. That'll be the next thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to take America, a superpower, and we're going to turn this into a third world country where we'll be dependent upon solar energy and electric vehicles, because we're not going to use gas and oil because we're running out of it. Sure we are. I just... Listen to these commercials, folks. You gotta, you know, I'm not going to get political here, but you've really got to pay attention to what they're saying, and you've got to stop to think. I don't care what you buy, sooner or later it's going to break, and, you know, who's going to fix it? There's limitations to technology. Okay, I'm better now. Let's get over and talk to Dan in Bristol, Connecticut. Dan, I'm done. Thank you, sir. How can I help? Sorry.
Good. How you doing today?
Good, sir. What's going on?
I thought about a 2016 Chevy Cruze, and it's her first car. And the navigation system decides to tell her every time she turns, goes to a new road, it tells her what the speed limit is. It's fine, but it's annoying. So she wants to cut it off, or she wants to get rid of the car. She just bought it 2 weeks ago.
An audible warning, Dan?
Yes.
You know, so it's
audible. It says, I'm sorry?
I was going to say, so every time she goes from a 55 to a 60 or a 35, speed limit is yada, yada, yada. She's looked through settings on the navigation system?
She doesn't have a navigation setting on the car.
Well, then what's making...
The dealership doesn't know how to shut it off either. They thought it was the satellite radio thing, but she doesn't have an account there. So they're not sure how to shut it off.
Well, wait a minute. She has navigation or she doesn't have navigation?
She doesn't have navigation. Does not. She's tried, looked through the book, looked through all the settings on the car, and nothing's there that says navigational settings. So we're a little dumbfounded on how it's working.
Yeah, I'm kind of dumbfounded too. So where's the sound coming from? And I guess that's the question.
The radio speakers. I'm not sure where it's actually coming from, but even the dealership didn't know where it was coming from. So
did she buy this car used?
Yes.
You know, I'm going to say I don't know. I'm going to say there's got to be, if it's not factory, then where would the add-on be, and how does the module hide in that? Yeah, Tom.
Is it possible that in the radio is set up to pick up traffic information, and that's where it's coming from? Because some radios are equipped to do that, and it is transmitted on certain stations.
Was that the old RDS systems?
Well, it's partially RDS, and now they've moved it over to HD radio side. So it's a combination of the two.
So I wonder if there is, but there's, you've been through radio settings, Dan, and there's nothing there?
I don't believe she has, but that's something else to look into.
Can you email me the VIN?
Sure.
I want to see, email me the 17-digit VIN, Ron at cardoctorshow.com. I want to look up the owner's manual for that car and see what I can find. But there's got to be a settings button somewhere. I can't believe that that's not you. I can't believe that you can't turn that off. That just doesn't. I've never heard of this. So, but you know, this is technology, right? This is technology.
The dealership didn't even know how to do it. So that's the other concern that I had, that didn't even know how to do it.
Right. Well, and you know, how many people have complained about it? You wonder how many people have turned it on. I'll tell you, they've got some really obscure things inside vehicle settings now, and. In the new Ford Explorer and the new Chevy pickup, I look at some of the settings and things that it'll do. The Chevy pickup actually has a setting that when I turn the truck off, it prompts me to look in the back seat. You know, look in wow. rear seat before I exit the vehicle, because you know the concern was, did you leave your groceries, your kids, your dog? You know, and the salesman, as he put it, he goes, nobody ever turns that off for some reason. I'm like, I'd turn that off. I can figure out if I got something in the back seat. Although I got to tell you, I don't know if it works, because the first night I had the truck, we went out to eat. I left the leftovers in the back of the truck. I forgot to take them out. So I ignored it because I'm not even used to seeing it. So you wonder how good technology is. Send me the VIN, Dan. That doesn't make any sense. There's got to be an answer to that. We got to go through the owner's manual. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll get back to you. You take good care. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this.
Write it on the wall so you don't forget to call for car advice done right. 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron.
Hey, I should point out that coming up bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Gerald Wickland of Wickland Car Collision in Liberty, Missouri. And he's going to be stopping by to talk about, you know, we've gotten so many questions over the years about body collision repairs, in particular the one Jesse from California with the Jeep. We're going to just talk a little bit about finding a good collision repair facility and what to look for, how to make sure it's right. And I'm trying to woo Gerald. I want to get him back because I want to talk specifically about Jesse's problem in California. We discussed it briefly when we talked on the phone in our introductory phone call earlier in the week, and he's a good guy to know. He's sharp, lots of knowledge there. Second generation owner, so we'll be looking forward to that down around the bottom of the hour. Let's get right now over to Mark in Hartford, Connecticut, 04 Chevy Silverado. Mark, welcome to the Car Doctor. Mark, how are you, sir?
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
All right, man.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. What's going on?
All right, so 04 Silverado 6.0. I just picked it up 2 days after getting the vehicle. I got an engine light come on. It's actually flashing. So I investigate that. It's a misfire, and it's detecting raw fuel being dumped into the catalytic converter. So I'll bring it back. Put it on a scan tool. It has a random misfire. It's showing cylinders 1 and 5. They replaced plugs and wires. That didn't solve the problem. They replaced the 2 coil packs on the misfired cylinders. That didn't fix it. They smoke tested the intake and the evap, replaced a mass air fuel sensor, and I'm still getting this. But it's really intermittent, and it only happens. I only get the flashing engine light over 70 miles an hour, 70, 72 miles an hour, it'll come on, but only at a coast, and that's about 2,700 RPMs. And if I'm just kind of on and off the gas to keep that 72 mile an hour speed, it'll flash the engine light.
Okay, who's they? Is this a dealer or a used car lot or?
This is the dealer, okay. not a Chevy dealer, but yes, the lot that I bought the car from. They have been doing the work. I've had my mechanic kind of double check the code, make sure that's all that was going wrong with it, and he ran it on his machine and looked at it. And it's a very low misfire. I'm only getting a couple thousand misfires on both of these these both of these cylinders.
Okay. How many miles are on this?
127 when I picked it up, and I have 131 now.
Okay. So now we know why it was traded in, right?
Yeah.
You always wonder, right?
Yeah, I figured that out.
So, you know, misfire is a misfire. It doesn't necessarily have to be ignition. It can be, you know, and I say this all the time, it can be, I always look at the example and point out, you know, you ever use a snowblower or a leaf or a lawnmower, if you leave the choke on too long, the engine starts to run rough, right? You know, that's a rich fuel condition misfire. If you have a worn spark plug, that's an ignition misfire. If it has a burnt valve, that's a mechanical misfire. So, you know, it's the same thing on an automobile. It's just you've got eight cylinders instead of one. So it sounds like they've gone through the ignition. They guessed and threw a bunch of parts at it for that, and that didn't do it. So now it's, you know, is it fuel? Is it, I liked what they did with smoke in the intake. Is it you know, a vacuum leak somehow affecting an issue? Although generally vacuum leaks aren't going to get picked up off idle, but smoke in the intake isn't a bad idea. These have a tendency to go through intakes and gaskets, rather. So that's not the worst idea. One of the things I'd like somebody to do is go through what we call crankshaft variation learn. This particular generation, 02, 03, 04, 05, you know, had an issue where it would lose its ability to know crankshaft position. And so you went through a crankshaft learn procedure, which has to be done with a scan tool. All right, not every scan tool has it. The factory Tech 2 does. I'm not sure if a Snap-on or a launcher or an OTC will, but it's just a procedure that goes through under special functions that will allow the person to re-index or relearn the crank in relation to the cam and the rest of the vehicle, so that it's bicycle sprockets are in the right place at the right time. You follow?
Right, I follow.
And before I go anywhere else with this, although I think you do have some sort of a problem because you're seeing a flashing light, although crankshaft out of index will cause an engine performance problem, my next step, because I don't like to spend money on parts unless I know what I'm doing, you know, that I've actually got a firm, like, yeah, this is bad. I don't like throwing parts at a car. I want to do the easy stuff first. I would look for bulletins, of which I don't know. I know there's a bunch, but a lot of them are going to point towards crank learn, but I would do a crank learn procedure. I would verify, you know, when it happens, which two cylinders are being affected. Is it consistently those two cylinders? And if it is, I would not rule out the possibility of carbon deposits. And, you know, do I have a valve train, valve spring issue? The fact that it happens at 72, the fact that it happens 72 miles an hour coasting, you know, when you're kind of backpedaling, as I think of it, I would look more towards, you know, I would double check my crank learn and look more towards software, and then think a little bit about carbon deposit issues before I went and started spending a bunch of money on other things. So do that. Let them do crank learn. If they need more information, tell them to email me, ron@cardoctorshow.com, and I'll be glad to help them any way I can. And keep me posted, Mark. Good luck to you. Hey, coming up next, Gerald Wicklund. Car collision questions answered right after this. Stay tuned.
When the family car needs some fixing, there's only two things that really matter: getting the right part and getting some good advice. It's a pretty safe bet that with over a million parts in stock, Pep Boys has the right part right now. The Pep Boys pros are extensively trained to find the right part for just about any car or truck. Better yet, these pros can also handle the entire installation or service needed. It's always good to have options, and know the Pep Boys pros have it covered either way.
Hey, Ron and Ian, the Car Doctor, we're back. You know, body work, repair, collision repairs seems to be a big topic of late. It seems to be growing more and more. The collision side of the industry is starting to grow as the mechanical side is starting to grow, and they're kind of melting together. And judging by your calls over the last couple of years, we thought it would be a good timely conversation to incorporate collision here on the Car Doctor and explain to you just what some of the basics are when you're doing things like choosing a collision repair shop. So we've reached out to one of the industry's best. It's Gerald Wicklund. He is the owner of CarStar Wicklund in Liberty, Missouri. And Gerald's here with us today, and we're glad to have him aboard. Gerald, welcome to the Car Doctor. Thanks for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me.
CarStar, you were the first CarStar star, so to speak, back in 1989, correct?
Yes. Literal Hope came to my dad with an idea, says, what do you think about starting a franchise with great training and execution of super fantastic repairs? And that being said, Dad ended up being the first franchisee of CarStar, and now we have over 15 in Kansas City metro area.
CarStar Wickland is celebrating 50 years in business, from what I understand.
Yeah, in 1970, actually started out as the body shop, and now 50 years later, we're still the body shop at Liberty.
So it's not your first day at the rodeo by any stretch of the imagination.
No, we have three generations of CarStar now.
Yeah. So, you know, when people say to you, hey, I'm trying to find a collision shop, as I'm sure you're, you know, sitting around the family barbecue or at different events, and people say, hey, I'm looking for a collision repair shop, and I live in Kansas, I live in Wisconsin, I live in, you know, what do I look for? What do drivers look for when they're choosing a collision repair shop?
Well, first of all, go online and check out the reviews. You want to make sure that when you go in there, it's clean. Call for an appointment. Ask for a shop tour. A lot of shops don't want you back in their back shop because they have too much to hide. And we're an open door. I mean, you just come in and we're going to look over the car, walk around it with you, make sure we catch all the damage, explain the damage, even while we're writing it on a big screen, and explain all the little parts, and make sure you understand the terminology that is used on the damage report, because sometimes they're using R&I, DNR, all kinds of terms that doesn't make sense to the consumer, and it needs to be spelled out in plain English so that anybody can understand.
Once somebody picks a repair shop, a collision repair shop, once that decision gets made, are there other things to consider before you actually drop the car off and the repair process starts?
Oh, make sure that you're clear on the damage report, and make sure that that all the damage is being repaired, and you understand what the insurance company's part of that is if there's an insurance company involved.
I guess, and understand what's actually being fixed, right? You know, if the mirror on the right side was broken prior to the accident, and the damage is on the left side, don't expect the right side damage to get resolved automatically unless you mention it, and you're going to obviously pay for that.
Yeah, but also pay attention to any rattles. A lot of times the car's hit so hard in the front end that the muffler system and engine's moved, and there might be a vibration in the engine. There might be a exhaust that is bumping up against the frame or unibody. So all those things we have to consider when we're doing a damage analysis and repair of a vehicle.
You know, I know when people come to the shop, Gerald, and we're talking to Gerald Wickland, owner of CarStar Wickland in Liberty, Missouri, for those of you just tuning in. You know, Gerald, I know when people come to the shop to pick up their cars at the end of the day, and we've done brakes, we've done service, it takes 10, 15 minutes to kind of get them out the door, and, you know, so they understand what we did. Is that the same at collision, or is collision just an in-and-out process? What happens?
Well, the last thing I want to do is just hand the keys and say, there's your car out there. I want to make sure even before they sign the check or any last-minute paperwork, that I walk around the car, explain the damage report in a way that they can understand, walk around the vehicle completely. I even had a car one time, a customer was in a hurry. He picks up his car. It had been repaired just in the right rear bumper, and he got a couple days later, he never walked around the car himself and noticed damage in the same exact spot and accused me of not repairing his vehicle. So you always want to walk around it. You want to make sure that it's very clear what was done. And if there's any questions or there's a wheel alignment done, make sure you got a copy of the wheel alignment specs. So that way you have it in your paperwork in case you need further down the road, you have tire wear or something, you can address those with another mechanic or take it back to the shop. You can always bring it back to us, and I'll drive it and explain and educate the customer. A lot of customers don't understand road crown, where the water drains off to the road to the right or the left, and how the car will drift after a wheel alignment.
And what effects that has on the way the car handles, sure. Yeah, we get into that conversation too. You know, somebody comes in and picks up their vehicle, or they're getting ready to approve the repair, actually. They've brought it into you, and you know Gerald says, okay, it's $5,000 to fix this, and but gee, Gerald, the guy around the corner was $4,000, and you know you look at the list, and the list of the parts are the same. What's going to be different in those two estimates? Why is there $1,000 difference? Is there some difference in the parts? Maybe.
Sometimes it's a different kind of parts. And make sure you understand, is that a used part or a aftermarket part, as in a CAPA certified part, or is it being repaired and not replaced? So it might be the same amount of lines, but one shop's electing to repair a part as opposed to replacing it. We're not real big into repairing headlights because it's hard to get them back to pre-accident condition.
Right.
And that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, when you pick the car up, you want to look, walk around, look at what gaps in the doors and does the paint match and that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, the cars aren't built perfect from the factory, but yet if you look at the gaps on the left front fender, the upper and the lower part, and then check the right front fender, if it's not the same, start asking why and make them explain it.
Do you think it's okay to use a body shop without a spray booth? I have to throw that one into our conversation. I love to see.
Well, that's not legal in the Kansas City metro area.
Right.
You know, we've been using waterborne paint for years just to be cognizant of the environment, and it's not exactly the fastest. But it definitely comes up with something that's environmentally secure. Good.
Well, and environmentally secure, and also, you know, the way they're painting cars out of the factory today is
my it's also waterborne. Yeah,
it's so technical, I guess, is the way I want to think of it. And you really need that clean environment. You really need a spray booth to paint cars today. It's not like 20 years ago.
Yeah, and then from the factory, they're using a waterborne paint, and we have to, in the aftermarket out here in the industry, we have to use something that can match what the OEM does, and it has to be blended. Today's paints are not designed to just paint a fender and then put it on. It's designed to be blended. The paint matches. We get cars that come in, and there might be 10 codes for the same color that was made on that car that are out there. I mean, there'd be 10 different cars out there with a different color. And so we have to figure out which one was used on that particular vehicle.
And match it. Yeah, I can understand that. Talk a little bit about CarStar before I let you go, Gerald, if you could. You know, you go to CarStar Wickland, you're in Liberty, Missouri. Somebody, you fix a car, or maybe somebody in California uses a CarStar facility out there, and then somebody shows up at Gerald's door, hey, I had this fixed out in California, and you know, now I've got a problem 3 months later. Is there a nationwide benefit to going to a CarStar shop like that?
Absolutely. We give a lifetime guarantee here at the facility, and you get a 5-year nationwide guarantee at any CarStar facility in the United States and or Canada.
Wow, all the way up into Canada now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's impressive. That really is. Where can the listeners go get more information, Gerald?
Well, I would go to CarStar.com, just put in your zip code, and you'll come up with a list of shops that are closest to you. You can also dial 1-800-CARSTAR.
Perfect. Hey, Gerald, thanks for taking time. I know you guys have a busy Saturday, and we appreciate you spending the time with us here on The Car Doctor. You have a good rest of the day.
You have a super fantastic weekend.
Thank you, sir. I'm Ron Ananian and The Car Doctor. We are back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Once again, thanks to Gerald Wickland. Wickland Collision there in Liberty, Missouri. Appreciate him taking the time. You know, Saturday's a busy day in the body shop, and everybody's picking up and dropping off for the next week and coming in, coming out. It's kind of like a hotel, right? And we know he's busy, so we appreciate him taking the time today. Let's get on over and talk to Richard in Maine. 08 Silverado, 4-wheel drive, and some warning on the dashboard. Richard, welcome to the Car Doctor. How can I help, sir?
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good, sir. What's going on?
Yeah, I have an 08 Silverado work truck, 4-wheel drive, and when I got it, it had the wheels were all rusted and the paint was chipping, so I got some Denali wheels off of an old GMC, and the monitors that monitor the tire pressure, they were all corroded, and aluminum was all oxidized together. So I took them all out, and now every time I start my vehicle, I get a service tire monitor system on the dashboard. I wonder if there's any way I could just take and
no,
rid
sir.
Of that, pull
nope.
a fuse or something.
Nope. Nope, it's tied in. It's either tied in through the BCM or one of the restraint control modules, depending upon how GM optioned it out. No way to deal with it other than put sensors back in it. That's it. The only thing you can do to modify TPMS on some of the GM products, and you know, this is the way all the car companies are, and this is the results of the federal government. This isn't the car companies. The car companies were mandated by the government beginning in model year 2008 to put tire pressure monitoring systems in, largely because of the problems that the Ford Explorers had way back 20 years ago. And there were other vehicles where they, you know, alleged low tire inflation caused the accidents and instability. I could tell you the argument against that, but that's my own theory, and I'm not really, I generally don't bring it up. But suffice it to say that it's there because of that, and the only way you're going to get rid of it, I know of no workarounds. You know, it's a piece of tape over the dashboard. But, you know, the problem is, Richard, you've got to get used to it. I know it's hard. Listen.
I'm millennial. You know, not millennial. I'm, you know, a baby boomer or something, you know, in my 70s, and I'm a pencil and paper and eraser guy, and I hate technology.
Yeah,
and I'm fighting it right to the end of it.
Brother,
I worked on my own vehicle. So.
Yeah, brother, I get it. I'm right behind you. I graduated high school in 74. You can do the math and figure out how old I am. And
I get up 65.
Yeah, you know, it's, let's see, 65 Corvette, 396, 4 1/4, side pipes. Yeah, those were the car. You know.
I had a 67, 427 side pipes, 390 horsepower glide.
Right. And, you know, if we talk like that with the kids today, they'll go, a what? You had what?
Ask the kid today if they've ever dimmed the headlights with their left foot, and they look at you and get three hits.
Well, ask a kid. Tell a kid today you're going to get your tires rotated, and they say, "Don't you do that when you drive the car?" you know, it's we shouldn't pick on the kids today. It's you know what?
They're just not.
We've just got to educate them. And I don't know, Richard. Maybe we're just a couple of old codgers, and maybe we just really don't matter anymore. I don't know.
That's what I think's happening. Technology is passing me right over. So.
Yeah, that's okay.
All I have to do is I just have to hit the odometer reset button, and it goes out every time I start, it comes on. I just thought I could pull up yours.
No, it's gonna be all tied together, sir. I'm sorry. I know of no programming option. Like I was gonna say, the only thing you could do to an 08, and I did it to mine. I had an 08 Silverado. Is I could go in with the scan tool, and I could lower the warning where the tire pressure would come on. But I don't believe zero was one of the warnings. I think you're stuck with it. So, all right.
All right. I'll keep listening to Doo-Wop and say, you know, technology can go where they want to go.
Yep, so. I appreciate it. And listen, you keep listening.
Thank
keep
you
me
very
honest.
Much.
You're welcome, Richard. You take good care. Technology's a tough deal, folks. We're just not going to get away from it. And it just keeps coming at us. And think of it like this. We're only in the infancy, all right? We are only in the infancy. I wonder where it's going to be 100 years from now. Somebody was telling me the other day they have apps now, and I guess I'm probably old saying this, but there are apps for your phone that can take – your phones can take your blood pressure. Yeah, Tom's shaking his head. Yes, so just imagine where it's going to be. Tom.
I'm waiting for my Star Trek transporter.
Well, you know, they say there was an article, and I've talked about this. Now it's got to be 15 years ago that some physicists in Sweden transported a pencil from one end of the table to the other. They de-energized it and re-energized it. And I looked into it. I swear to God, this is the truth, all right? And I talked to a friend of mine who's a physicist, and he said, the problem is, at the submolecular level, there are too many characteristics that what if we change things and made you into an idiot? And I said, yeah, but think of all the idiots we could turn into normal people. And that's when he said to me, yeah, we'll never do it because it would take far too long because there's far too many of them than there are of us. And I left it there. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. We're coming back. Don't go away.
Would you put that white suit away?
By the way, speaking of which, where is Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor? We're back. Where is Mr. Discotech? Is he still mourning the Giants?
I don't know what he's doing today. He's not here.
No, I know.
Did you forget
that.
To pick him up?
No. Oh. No, I know. Was it my turn?
Well, yeah.
You know, I was wondering because in the break room there's that extra sandwich. Well, that's okay. Do you want his half of the roast beef?
No, that's okay. My wife will have supper for us when I get home.
Okay. I was just wondering. I notice. I think Tony's I don't know. Maybe he's mourning the Giants. Did you see the article? By the way, we're not going to talk cars for a second.
Actually, he might be sick because the Red Sox made it into the World Series.
Well, I could understand why he'd be sick about that, being a Red Sox Yankees fan that he is. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about this Mazda I worked on this week, real quick. There comes a point where you have to, is the word exude common sense? I think it's kind of like what Kenny Rogers said. You got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. It was an 08 Mazda CX-9 that had a water leak to the point of the inside of the windshield looked like the shower. All right, it was just soaking wet every morning. But that isn't what the car was there for. The car was there because it allegedly had a misfire and a stutter on the road. After I diagnosed that and it came out, well, it could be transmission, it could be ignition, it could be this, it could be that. Between that, the water leak, the wiper blades, the brakes, and everything else the car needed, I said, hey, it's time to go. You got to know when to fold them, you got to know when to hold them. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. The mechanics aren't expensive, they're priceless. See ya.